Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I am a CPA, CFP professional, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com, and you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. Our topic tonight is cash flow and what have we learned through COVID. We discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic and I'll do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810. 610-758-8810. And that is the line that people were calling in for pledges. And we have Lori C. over there now actually for questions. If you want to do some online giving tonight, that would work very well for us at wdiy.org, wdiy.org, especially if you weren't able to give last week during the show. We really like the Your Financial Choice listeners to demonstrate their commitment to the station and the show keep up with your membership or do a little extra giving, again, through wdiy.org. But Lori is here to answer questions or to take your calls as well. And that number would be 610-758-8810. And you can also send questions through the website, yourfinancialchoices.com. So cash flow and what have we learned through COVID? I just thought it might be a good time to kind of sit back and let's talk about, you know, what we've experienced over the past year and what lessons we might have learned from it. I do want to mention that it is still tax season. Tax returns are not due until May 17th. For those people who are out there who still have questions about tax returns, I love questions and would be very happy to take your calls as well for that. So you could get directly to Lori C. to answer those. And it is her birthday. So you can even call to say happy birthday to Lori C. and just hang up after that if you want. That is 610-758-8810. 610-758-8810. She's been here with me for a very long time taking questions each and every week. So we really appreciate that she's here and giving up her birthday for us. So thank you, Lori. So cash flow, what are we talking about here? Why should we talk about this? So we know cash flow can make or break your future financial opportunities, really. If we sit back and think about it, I mean, that is one of the reasons I have done this show for so long. I'm a frustrated wannabe teacher. I wasn't able to teach. As I fell into accounting, one thing I did learn is that it can be very confusing. Financial information can be very confusing. And I've just been so grateful and fortunate to have found a home here at WDIY. This is why we do this programming and hope that we can help those in our community learn something each week about their own financial situation. And hopefully over the years, it's been able to help people. And we know that it kind of all starts with some basics, and financial decisions are what really, you know, we experience every single day. I've done shows on this where we talk about you practically cannot go through a day without a financial decision being made, whether consciously or subconsciously. And it can make such a difference in your future and your options and your opportunities that I just think it's really important to kind of pay attention to this and take a little time, just like you might nurture a garden or nurture your children or nurture your, you know, your home and your property. You have to nurture your you know, financial situation as well. And especially during this time, this past year, we have the whole, you know, spectrum of how people were affected, not just medically and health-wise and, you know, people who were sick or who passed away. I mean, just so many sad stories and so many happy stories as well with people recovering. But there's also that whole spectrum of stories in people's financial lives, people who continued to work. I mean, we were very, very fortunate at Valley National to be able to continue working while we were doing it remotely. We still all were able to work and to continue to stay employed. And I'm very lucky that everyone in my family was the same way as well. And not everyone had that. Not everyone had that opportunity. Not everyone got to keep their jobs. Some people had to quit because they might not have had childcare any longer, or their business was not allowed to stay open. People were furloughed. People were laid off. People just plain out lost their jobs. Restaurants closed. So there is the whole gamut of, situations that really happened. And what we also saw happen was, again, on this kind of two sides of every story, right? That people were able to save money for those people who were continued to work, but weren't driving to work or weren't having to pay for dry cleaning or new clothes or new shoes, or even have maintenance on their car. Those people were able to save money because they were still, you know, possibly in the same jobs, making the same amount of money, but with much less in expenditures. And then, of course, we had people who possibly had to go through their savings that they, if they lost their job or, were cut back. Some people might not have lost their job, but cut back from full time to part time, maybe had to use some of their funds. So I thought it might be, a nice opportunity to kind of reflect on what takeaways we had from this. I'm not going to call it an experiment, but that's the word that just came to my mind. What have we learned from, this prior year? And again, I feel a little bit guilty talking from my perspective where I wasn't in the shoes of people who completely lost their jobs and the ability to maybe pay their mortgage or their rent. I'm talking out of ignorance from that side, but certainly empathetic toward those people. Very fortunate that there was some government intervention as we went along. In the grand scheme of things, I would hear people talk about that, with the unemployment benefits, hey, people would rather stay home and get those unemployment benefits than work. And I think there's some ignorance around those statements as well. And I don't think that's really fair in understanding people's plight and how people were affected by this. Again, you have people who may have had health considerations that, even if they wanted to go to work, it was probably better that they didn't because of exposure. You had people who had childcare issues, or maybe even elderly parents that they had to take care of. Elderly parents that may have been in assisted living that you pulled out of assisted living. I've heard those stories because they were concerned about the exposure. Well, now then, those people who did that became full-time caregivers. There are a lot of stories, and we can't always hear everyone's story. We can just try to understand and be empathetic to what happened. But I think that even with all that, there were certainly some lessons to be learned. Frequently, as a financial advisor, we talk about, having an emergency reserve, how important that is. And over my career, I've been doing this for quite a while. I remember when I first started in the business, we would say 3 months, and then we kind of were saying 6 months reserve. And, in recent years, I've been saying a year reserve. And I think now, wow, good thing I talk to a lot of clients about maybe even having a year reserve and even a two-year kind of spend planned out. So as we go through the show, we're going to talk about some of the considerations that we might want to think about. And one of the top being, you know, what did we learn? And maybe one of the things we learned is we don't have to spend as much as we thought we did. So we'll cover some of that. But it is our membership drive, our spring membership drive. And if you are willing and able, of course, for our community, it's so fortunate that we have WDIY to listen to, public radio, and all the programming that we have here on 88.1. Very fortunate. But for those who really appreciate the programming and have the ability and the resources to help support the station that's been here so long in the community for you, bringing you such diverse programming, the best way to give this evening during your financial choices is through the website, wdiy.org. That's wdiy.org. And we will be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert, and you're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY.org, 88.1 FM. And I am joined in the studio by Seamus McGrogan. Hi, Seamus.
Hi, Lori. Happy to be here. I'm only stopping in for a moment to remind you that it is our spring membership drive, and we are asking for your support. If you listen to Your Financial Choices, if it's your Wednesday evening appointment, if you learn a lot, like I do listening to this show, about finance, about taxes, about all the things that she discusses, now's the time to support your listening with a membership gift, because that will support this show. It'll keep it on the air, and it'll go to wrapping up our spring membership drive as soon as possible. Give online right now at wdiy.org. Click the donate button. Of course, if you have the WDIY app, there's a donate button on there as well. And as you're calling up to ask questions here at 610-758-8810, if you also want to donate after you ask a question, we can also accommodate you there. But we want you to call up and talk to Lori.
Thank you, Seamus. I appreciate that.
So Your Financial Choices listeners, support your listening. Have a good turnout for Lori's show. It's a vote of confidence for her show if you call in during the program you listen to. So that tells us, hey, you want this to stick around on the air. So that's a good way to tell us what you listen to and what you want to stick around here. So again, that's wdiy.org. On the app, the donate button, and call up and ask questions at 610-758-8810. And then let us know if you want to donate as well.
Thank you, Seamus. And listeners, I hope that you take just a moment to do that. It shouldn't take too long, and you can even do it if you go online while you're listening to the show. So it works out really well. So again, at wdiy.org, and click the Donate Now button. And we will be monitoring those donations during the hour, and Seamus will come back and let us know if who the icebreaker was. That would be great if there is an icebreaker for donations during this hour. We really would appreciate it. And it can be an extra donation if you like. I have to tell you, I occasionally get emails from even people outside of our area, because the program also sits on NPR's website, npr.org, and people can search for, you know, financial shows on NPR's website, and Your Financial Choices pops up. I received a letter in the mail from a gentleman in Washington, D.C., who said that he told me a nice story about his wife, and that she, during her lifetime, she has since passed, had been an advocate for financial literacy, and she sounded like a real spitfire. Very curious to learn more about her. He sent me some articles. But we have listeners from Washington, D.C. I've had listeners call from Georgia, California, and have sent me questions via the website, yourfinancialchoices.com. So it's really nice that the message is not only just getting out in the Lehigh Valley, but nationally as well. And if you have family and friends outside of our listening area, they can stream live with us at WDIY.org or listen to podcasts of prior shows under the Public Affairs tab on WDIY.org and scroll down to Your Financial Choices and look for the topics that might be of interest. So tonight we are talking about cash flow and what we've learned through COVID, and just some quick list items, which I'll go back to the first one I had mentioned before our last break, which was the importance of an emergency reserve. And then also, how are we saving, building up retirement funds, and do we pay down debt? I was talking with someone about this earlier, and we were talking about some things to talk about for on the show tonight. And another point is like knowing where to find help. And this person said, now I can see how I can save. And what did she mean by that? Well, we were talking about what have we learned over the past year. And when we realize that when we had to kind of go into this shutdown, it's amazing what we learned we could do without. So her point was, now I can see how I can save. And what I have learned over the years working with people is it is quite empowering, quite empowering when you start to build up some of those reserves and have some of that money so that you can have options. I just spoke with someone today who is getting to ready to retire and had been a very, very good saver. And because of that, she has options and that she might not otherwise have had. And coming to a point in her life where she could continue to work or to retire, and, you know, other events occurred, and it was just a best decision for her at this time, along with her family, to be able to retire. And she knew that she could. And part of it was because she's been such a good saver. You know, I'm also someone who believes in living for today. So, you know, some people can scrimp and save every penny and maybe not enjoy their life at all. I'm certainly not suggesting that. It's all about, you know, reasonable, you know, goals. And as I mentioned, one of the things we've learned over the past year is how much maybe that we could do without. So let's start with talking about the emergency reserve. Why is it important to have an emergency reserve? Well, because we never know when something might like this might happen. It's not just a shutdown and possibly, you know, losing jobs or getting cut back on jobs. It's about anything that could happen. And it could be a health issue, a health scare. It could be, you know, divorce, separation if you're with a partner. It could be death of a spouse, death of a partner. There are a number of things that could happen. And again, we don't want to, I've probably made my own children very anxious because I've always talked about all the things that might happen. But it's not to be in a detrimental way or a defeating way. It's about not taking anything for granted and being ready and prepared. I was a Girl Scout, so maybe it's, you know, kind of like that, to always be prepared. It again gives you options. So when we talked about emergency reserve, basically what we're talking about there is how much would you need for your non-discretionary expenses. If someone has rent and insurance, maybe a car payment, or if you're not renting, maybe a mortgage or a house payment, utilities, some basic food. You want to add all that up and come up with a monthly budget and have probably really, I am leaning more towards 6 months to a year of emergency reserves. And I think that we're going to see more and more of that as we see this, you know, young adults coming up and all of the you know, societal tragedies that they've witnessed and seen, 9/11 and a recession and now the pandemic, young adults are probably going to be better savers than the baby boomers because they have watched their parents go through a number of, you know, financial challenges. And I see young adults being better savers. But I think it's really important to probably have a nice, good emergency reserve. My son has started a new job. He's talking about that himself, and he's 25 years old, wants to have his bank account with his emergency reserve. He probably listens to a show called Your Financial Choices, where he learned it. Folks, we are at our second break. If you have questions, Lori C. is here. It's her birthday. You could say happy birthday. I hope she doesn't mind that I told people that. 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. You can ask questions. If you'd like to make a pledge, increase a pledge, become a sustaining member, you can do that also online at wdiy.org and click the donate button. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Oh, welcome back. Shandi, thank you very much. Shandi's giving me the wave. Welcome back, folks. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices, and we are in our spring membership drive. Seamus, do you have some updates for us?
I do, Lori. We want to thank Suzanne from Bethlehem, who says she listens every week and values your financial choices.
Suzanne, thank you so much. You're our icebreaker.
That ice is broken. And now we hope you will join Suzanne in supporting your listening right now during our spring membership drive. This is one of the most important times of the year for us as we try to raise the money needed to keep programs like Your Financial Choices on the air. You can do that by going to our website, wdiy.org, click the donate button. There's also a donate button on the WDIY app. And as you're calling to ask questions tonight to Lori at 610-758-8810, if you also want to make a donation, we can accommodate you there as well. It all goes to support your listening, and we're thankful for whatever you can give. Of course, we love our members, though. The full-fledged members come in at $60 or $10 every month or $10 every other month. It really makes a big difference to us, Lori.
That would be great. And if we could get some new members tonight, that would be especially helpful. And Suzanne's calling from Bethlehem. And I know that I've even had listeners from New Jersey. And wouldn't it be nice if we had some callers from New Jersey this evening?
We've had some callers from New Jersey this spring drive. I always love hearing from the Garden State. We've heard from Stewartsville. We've heard from, Clinton, I believe. Love to hear from some other places out there. So if you're listening in New Jersey, Phillipsburg, maybe, let us know and represent for your state, because we don't want it all to be Pennsylvania. We're also broadcasting over in New Jersey, so represent.
And Seamus, I don't know if you heard me mention earlier, I get correspondence from people in California, D.C., Georgia. And so that's always really exciting to me, too, that the messages are getting out there via the website as well.
Yeah, if you're listening out there over the web or over the app, that's another service that we provide to you. And if you value that, the way to support that is by becoming a member. So we hope that you'll put a value on that, make a contribution. It takes just a couple minutes, and we'll be really thankful. You'll make Lori happy as well.
Seamus knows. I get emotional about all of this. So please give us a call or go online at wdiy.org. Okay, Seamus, thanks so much. And Suzanne, thank you for being the icebreaker. I said, I want an ice melter. I want the phone lines or the website to be on fire and melt the ice. So let's get some more contributions. We had several last week, and I really appreciate that for those people who did that last week. Thank you so much. I even had someone tell me kind of at the end of the show that they got one in at the last minute, but it was hard getting through. So you can certainly go online and do it much easier at wdiy.org and click the donate button. But if you have questions, Lori C. is here, and she is happy to take your calls. and questions. If you're not comfortable talking live on air, she'll write it down and bring it in to me, and that works very well as well. And if you want to talk live on air, we can do that too. So the number for that is 610-758-8810. So talking about emergency reserves, the reason we talk about emergency reserves is so that if at some point you're in a situation where you have a big expenditure, and it doesn't have to be that you lost your job, the big expenditure could be, oops, you know, something happened with your house and you have to replace an air conditioner or a boiler or whatever it might be, or a new lawnmower. It could be, whatever. The emergency reserve is going to help give you a little bit of a buffer so that you don't have to, number one, put it on a credit card and, you know, pay a high interest rate, or you don't have to pull it from a retirement account, or you don't have to pull it from the market if the market's down. That's why we want that emergency reserve, to give you a little bit of a buffer so that you're not put in a position to, hurt yourself financially. So 6 months is probably the more typical recommendation for people, but I even think 6 months to a year. And quite often with our clients, we will talk to them not just about that emergency reserve. That's the money you're going to have in the bank, typically. But we might also say, what do you anticipate over the next 2 or 3 years? And you would be surprised if we were only talking about an emergency reserve for 3 to 6 months and you don't ask more questions, you don't find out, oh, wait, they expect there's a wedding in 2 years, or there's a new car in 2 years, or we know that we've been holding off on the roof too long and we're going to have to replace the roof. Well, we want to know about that too, because you would save some of that money while you might keep it invested. You would keep it maybe more conservatively, because you also don't want to put your money at risk if you know you're going to be taking it out in a very short time. So when we talk about emergency reserves, typically it's what you're having as cash in the bank, and then even maybe a short-term bucket, invested a little bit more conservatively for those expenditures you might expect in the next 2 to 5 years, all right? You have to recognize that the cash isn't going to give you the same kind of return. You know, and we have to talk in generalities, because there's no guarantees on returns on anything. But generally, why in the bank you're not earning as much is because you're taking less risk with that. What I like to point out to people who maybe think it's a good idea to have so much cash is you also have some further risk with that as well, though, because then we might be talking about, are you protected against inflation? All right. So you want to make sure you're balancing all of this. And that's why we would then talk about, how are you saving? It's not just about how much you have in the reserves or how much you have in that short term bucket. How are you saving? Are you being smart about how you're saving? When we talk through this period of COVID and how people were spending, or in essence, not spending, all of a sudden bank accounts started, getting built up quite a bit. Well, if you didn't previously have your emergency reserve, then that's wonderful, because now you have your emergency reserve. Now don't go spend that. You've got that set. And now you kind of move forward from today, knowing you have that taken care of. Maybe you built up cash, but you still have been running credit card debt. When we talk about how are we saving, we don't want to have maybe $100,000, and I'm making this up, $100,000 of cash in the bank and $50,000 of credit card debt. That doesn't make any sense. You'd want to make sure that you're reviewing your whole overall financial picture and being smart about how you're saving. I've seen where people, it's not as common, where people have saved a lot of money in the bank and they failed to recognize or notice that they have credit cards with running balances. They don't realize that just paying the minimum monthly amount due will take years sometimes to pay down, especially when you're talking about a 24 or 25% interest rate on credit card debt. I've really seen where some people feel very good that they're making their monthly payment, and they think that's great, and they should be happy they're making their monthly payment. That is good. But they don't understand the cost of that. If you look at the present value of that future stream of payments, it's costing you a lot more money than it would be if you maybe pulled some of that extra cash that you might have in the bank. So we want to be careful about that. We're going to talk a little bit more about, you know, how are we saving as we come back from the halfway point. I want to remind listeners, we are in our spring membership drive, and Suzanne broke the ice with the first contribution during this hour of Your Financial Choices. And these shows are available at wdiy.org and the website Your Financial Choices for prior shows. You can go to Public Affairs and look for a topic of interest. The phone number for questions is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Good evening, WDIY, Lehigh Valley Public Radio. I'm Shondi Gray. It's now 6:30 and 43 with clear skies. Lehigh Valley weather tonight, showers, low 32. Thursday, high 50. Thursday night, low 33. Friday is going to be sunny, high 62. Friday night, low 40. And Saturday, mostly sunny. Chances of rain later on in the afternoon is going to be 67. Saturday night, low 50. Now, back to Your Financial Choices with Lori Siebert.
Thank you, Shondi, and welcome back. We are talking about cash flow and what have we learned through COVID. And the big takeaway there tonight is we learned that we can do with less. I really believe that. Although someone did mention to me that online shopping, you know, had a bit of a spike. You'd see those neighbors who had boxes being delivered every day. But for the most part, I think, and the money supply shows that there is a lot of cash on the table, folks, a lot of cash on the sidelines. We are joined in the studio once again with Seamus McGrogan. Hi, Seamus.
Hi, Lori. Just a quick update on the spring membership drive. We are looking to stay on track for Your Financial Choices, looking for at least three other people. Would love to get four and get to that target of five for Your Financial Choices this evening. We already have one, so won't you join Suzanne from Bethlehem right now and call 610-758-8810. And if you ask a question, you can also stay on the line and donate if you so choose. Of course, an easy way to give is our website, wdiy.org. Let's click the donate button, fill out the form, takes about 2 minutes, and you will contribute to your listening here at WDIY.
And I've been here, I think, a little bit over 12 years now, Seamus, and it was one of the best moves I've made. I've always comment that WDIY's listeners are the most sophisticated listeners we have. So put your money behind that commitment to this station that brings such educational and informational subject matter to you to help us in our community.
If you value what you hear on Your Financial Choices, the best way to support that is by making that membership gift. If you've never given a special, we'd love to have a new member come in, yeah, or more than one. I mean, we'd love to have new members come in and help us out with the drive and this edition of Your Financial Choices. So if you have a moment and the means, we would love to hear from you at wdiy.org or give Lori a call and ask a question at 610-758-8810. And we could also take a donation if you so choose as well.
Thank you so much, Seamus. We appreciate it. That's just a little reminder, too, of all the volunteers that work here as well. Seamus is on staff here, but they run a very, very tight ship here at WDIY. So many people worry about where their donated funds are going. I will tell you that here they are, spread out very, very well. We have, I think, over 100 volunteers. I'm not sure since COVID, but it's just phenomenal, the people that are committed to this station, really phenomenal. And our listeners are as well. So thank you so much for people who are contributing and supporting not just the station, but also Your Financial Choices. I really really, really appreciate my listeners. We are talking about cash flow and what we've learned through COVID. We've talked about emergency reserves. How are we saving? Let's be smart about how we're saving. Let's not save, but not pay attention to the other things around us. You know, we have people who kind of talk about whether they should pay extra money on their maybe on their mortgage. And if you have a mortgage that has like a 3% rate and your investments are making much more money than that and you're accumulating money, you know, where is it best to save? Where is that money working for you? Well, first of all, I think you have to talk to your financial advisor about that to think about, you know, what are the options for you in some situations. And, you know, based on your own facts and circumstances, it may make sense for you to pay down a mortgage, or it may make sense to let that money keep working for you when the interest rate is so low. You might be someone who has a 5% interest rate, and right now we know that interest rates, you know, could come in at a 3% on a 30-year mortgage, possibly. Is it worth refinancing? So being smart about how you're saving and how you're investing together as a you know, concerted effort in putting all of these pieces together to make sure they're all working the right way, like the engine of a car. You want to make sure that you're being smart about how you're doing this. So pay attention to that. I've had folks who might be, you know, nearing retirement, and it might be one of their, you know, anxiety, considerations of having a mortgage when they retire. Well, they might only have, you know, a handful of years left, and it's that monthly payment that they might have to make. But if they were to retire and have to take, you know, maybe $50,000 out of their portfolio to pay off the balance of the mortgage because they don't want that $1,000 a month payment, well, they just took $50,000 out of their portfolio that might have been working for them over the next several years to relieve them of a $1,000 a month payment. And at a 3% rate, that, you know, that might not have been maybe the best decision. You kind of got to sit and put it all together. And it's hard to kind of see how all these pieces work unless you really know your numbers. I've talked on prior shows about having an inventory of not just your assets and your liabilities, but an inventory of, you know, what kind of rates of return you have on those assets and what kind of rates of interest you might have on your liabilities to understand the full picture of how you're saving and how you're spending. And then that obviously dovetails into the whole cash flow discussion. And if you're, you know, being the most strategic with the cash flow that you have. So, for example, being strategic with this cash flow. If during COVID you learned that you could save more money and you didn't need to spend as much as you thought, and the money has built up, you might ask yourself if you also considered, what are you doing in your retirement accounts? Have you increased your contribution in your retirement account at work? Have you contributed at all to your retirement account at work? And again, this is the under the assumption that you're working. It could be that you're now ready for a new job. Maybe you were let go, but now you're, you know, the market's opening back up, the economy's opening back up. You have an opportunity for a new job. And in evaluating your different options, you found a company that offers a 401k, and maybe they do a match. That's free money. And so by you saving and they might be matching, that is a smart way to talk about saving. How are we saving? It's if you put in 3% and they give 3% or something like that, it really can make a difference. Okay, we had a couple questions that have come in. It says, you may have mentioned this and I missed it, but for those of us that built up some savings during COVID, remember those nonprofits and give. That's cute. Remember those nonprofits and give. Actually, the United Way, I think, saw another record year this year. So really, for people who were saving, I know I had many, many clients who received the stimulus payment who said they didn't really need it. And my comment to them always was, then donate it. And I think a lot of people did. And I had other people who told me they were increasing their tips to service workers. And I thought that was wonderful. And what a great feeling. And I myself have tried to do that quite a bit to increase the tips, because understanding that maybe they have half the clients or half the customers that they ordinarily would if you have the means to do that. So that's really nice, a nice comment. Thank you for sharing that. Remember those nonprofits and give. So thank you. And then Nancy had a future show idea. Everybody's talking about saving money. Drummed into us, but when do we spend? Permission to spend it. Older folks don't know how to shift gears. Oh, that's good, Nancy, and I think that is an important point as well. And in fact, I did mention earlier, I am not someone who is such a stickler. I do believe in living today and having a nice balance. I had a very good friend whose husband was very tight with money, and she couldn't buy any new furniture. And the neighbors, when they were getting ready to put their furniture on the corner, would call her and say, hey, we've got a couch we're putting on the corner if you want it. And she literally would, you know, kind of go shopping on the corner in the yard or in the neighborhood for opportunities to get some extra furniture. And that's kind of a sad story, but you know, the husband's very, very careful. But frankly, she is too as well, if she had to admit it. She's very, very careful with money, and I love them, and they make it work. So it's all good. But I do believe that you can spend too. I think, Nancy, that the idea that I would like people to kind of reflect on is thinking about how they're spending. Is it with thought or with afterthought? Because it's like me with chocolate. Sometimes I will eat it and I will look down and it's gone and I didn't even realize I ate all that chocolate. And that's what happens sometimes with people with money. They have money in their pocket or in their, you know, wallet, and they go out and next thing they know, it's gone and they didn't even realize what they spent it on because they weren't thinking. It was an afterthought. And if we are more thoughtful about what we're spending, perhaps a book, something that will give us hours of entertainment, an activity, a trip to the park. You know, you're buying gas to drive to the park or going to the Lehigh Valley Zoo to go in. And I know at the holidays, they had the lights. It was beautiful and lovely, and it wasn't cheap, but it was lovely, and it was a family experience. Things like that, I think, can really make a big difference. And also reflecting back on what we've been through this past year with COVID, is I have seen and heard more and more people talk about the importance of family and being together and having that time together. Maybe instead of taking, you know, a trip to Europe, you take a family vacation or rent a house together where you have quality time with the people that you love. Because that is, you know, so important, and what we find is important. And it could be, you know, friends too. It doesn't even have to be family. So yes, I think you should have permission to spend a little bit as well. I just would, you know, kind of offer up that we're thoughtful about what we're spending our money on and thinking about. As we see some of the funds build up, as I mentioned, with the retirement accounts, I have had people during tax season also ask, can I do a 401k and a Roth? Or can I do a 401k and a Roth 401k and a Roth IRA? Can I do both of those? And The answer depends on your income. But for example, if someone wanted to make a contribution to a Roth IRA, and I mentioned this probably last week or a couple weeks ago, married, filing, joint, if your income's under $196,000, even if you're a participant in a 401k at work, whether it's a Roth or a regular pre-tax 401k, you could still fund a Roth IRA. And for people who are listening tonight, if you had earned income, you have to have earned income. But if you fall under those categories and single, it's under $124,000. So if you fall under those income limits and you have some of this built up cash in your bank account and you've managed your credit card debts or your student loans or whatever it might be, and you want to contribute to a Roth IRA and you haven't done it yet, you can do that for 2020 up until May 17th. So that's another good use of that extra cash flow that we might have built up because we weren't spending. Now, I hope that when we come back from the break, I'll be able to talk a little bit about the folks who weren't as fortunate to be working and to have saved money to have these options to, you know, increase their contributions to their retirement accounts or put extra money in a Roth IRA or a traditional IRA, whatever it might be. Hopefully we'll talk a little bit about what you know, some tactics you might be able to use. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810, and you can donate online and become a member at wdiy.org. Back in a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services, including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. Seamus, do we have some updates?
We do, Lori. We want to thank Teresa from Topton. Thank you, Teresa.
Wow, Topton. Thank you, Teresa.
With an extra contribution from Teresa, who is already a member, so giving a little extra in support of your show. She said she wanted to support her girl, Lori.
Oh, wonderful, Teresa. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I think I'll match any contribution. Well, I've got to be careful. Up to $500. I'll match any contributions. We have 14 minutes left. Suzanne had broken the ice. Teresa has started melting the ice. I want to put this on fire. We got 14 minutes, and I would love for the next 14 minutes for everyone to donate online up to $500. I will write a check up to $500. So can we get someone to make a nice big chunk of contribution in the next 14 minutes? We'll see. Any number of people can do it. Four people, because we already have some contributions. So maybe one person at $500, maybe two people at $250, maybe four people at $125 each.
Whatever you can give is appreciated, but Lori is laying down the challenge right now.
The last minute, I want to end on a burn.
If you listen to Your Financial Choices on Wednesday evenings on a regular basis, if this is appointment listening for you, if you feel you learn a lot and you get a lot of value out of Lori's comments and questions and advice, now is the time to support your listening. And of course, support WDIY as we are in our spring membership drive, one of the most important times of the year for us as we try to raise the funds needed to fund the programs you listen to. WDIY.org is the place to do it. If you're on the WDIY app, we have a donate button there as well. And help us meet this challenge that Lori has laid out and help us get these contributions in before the end of the program.
Quick. And it's fast. WDIY.org. Donate.
Yeah, thank you, Lori. And thank you to everybody who's given.
Yeah, wouldn't that be exciting? I would just be hooting and hollering. Everyone would hear me in the studio here. Thank you, Seamus. Thank you, Teresa. I appreciate it. And Suzanne earlier. I really do. So let's talk just for a few minutes. You know, part of what I was going to talk about tonight, and I get distracted when we're in a membership drive because I get very excited about it and like talking about it through the whole show. I probably take more time than I need to. And so we can always talk about some of these other topics that I had this evening prepared to talk about, which were budget apps a little bit, some variety on budget apps. Maybe I'll talk about that next week as part of, you know, kind of an overall review of where we are with things. But let me talk for a minute about for the people who may not have, you know, been fortunate enough to keep their jobs or keep their full-time jobs. What are some opportunities for you? We were very fortunate that there was quite a bit of stimulus given to folks in our economy through the economic income payments, the stimulus payments, the first one, the second one, and then the third one. And for people who were unemployed, who got some extra boost in unemployment income. There was an article that I had seen on Business Insider, and it was really unfortunate how some people are talking, some businesses saying, you know, gosh, we just can't get we can't hire people because they'd rather sit home than work, and they're making more money. And there may be some circumstances where, you know, there were some people that might have been making more money. But I think that we were really, really in unusual circumstances. And when you think about the opportunity to go into, you know, a place of business and work and expose yourself to, you know, this virus that no one knew how any one person might react to it or respond to it, it is a little scary. And when you see the entire country and world closing down, it's really not like a mental incentive to say, oh, I'm going to go into work and make $10 an hour either. So we kind of have to put it in perspective within the circumstances. So I'm sure that there probably were some of that. But at the same time, that money didn't last forever. But for people who may not be aware of the help that was out there for them, I had folks who didn't think they would qualify for unemployment, or they didn't know how to apply for unemployment. And there still could be those people out there. So you really need to make sure that you understand where you can find help. And we have kind of an assumption that people can just go online to find all this information. But I am sure that there are a lot of people who were probably affected by this more than any of us could even understand or know, that may not even have the resources or the ability to go online and find out that they could qualify for some of these benefits if they were working, or how to do it, how to apply for unemployment. So if you know, there are resources in our community, there are phone numbers that people can call. I don't have those in front of me right now, but that is something that we could always talk about. But for, you know, people in our community, there are numbers that you can call. I know the United Way had resources available. I think they called it the 211 number that you could call and get help with things like food. And I'm sure they could tie you to some of those resources available as well. One thing I had mentioned, I think last week or the week before, was for people who ordinarily don't file tax returns, you may be someone who didn't qualify for the stimulus payment because they might not have known how to reach you, or, you know, where to send the stimulus payment. And you would be the target person who would need this if you weren't otherwise working. Or elderly people who might not file tax returns, and maybe they didn't have your Social Security information available at the time. You can go file a tax return, and even if you don't owe money, and possibly receive that first and second stimulus payment that you might not have received otherwise. It's called the Recovery Rebate Credit. On the 2020 tax return, for people who did not receive the first and second stimulus payment, you can file a 2020 tax return and fill out the Recovery Rebate Worksheet and get that money via that filing. And if you have bank information. You could put your bank information for direct deposit. And if you don't have bank information, they would mail a check to you. I don't believe the IRS is going to automatically send those to you. They are doing their taking care of some automatic corrections for people who filed returns and reported the unemployment compensation when there might have been an exclusion on some of those benefits. They are making corrections for people who paid back some of their premium tax credit, the advanced premium tax credit some people are entitled to for the marketplace insurance. If you're over a certain income, you have to pay that back. And with the American Rescue Plan, they said people were not having to pay that back. The IRS is going to fix that for people who already filed their return. But I'm not aware of them saying that they're going to fix the first and second stimulus if you didn't already get it. The way to fix that is to file your 2020 return and complete the recovery rebate credit. And a lot of people don't know how to reconcile whether they received those stimulus payments or not. So some people think they got them. Some people don't think they got them, or they think if they didn't qualify for them that they don't get another chance at them. But it really is based on the 2020 income. I also have had stories where people had dependent children in 2019, and those dependent children might not have qualified for their own stimulus payment. And then in 2021, they are independent adults, graduated from college, and they don't realize that they now could qualify for this first and second stimulus based on their own income if they're within the income limitations. Typically, someone who's just graduated, you know, would still qualify. You're not coming out of college and making $150,000 necessarily. So those people can file a 2020 tax return and fill out that recovery rebate credit worksheet. So pay attention to that. We had people who, again, didn't know about filing for unemployment or didn't know how to or didn't want to. It should, you know, be something that you can explore through the Pennsylvania Unemployment Compensation website. I also want to mention for people who are small business owners, there were those PPP loans, and I do believe that there are still some of those out there as well. That is something to check out. And funny, when we were in the midst of it, in the depths of it, I knew the ins and outs of that. I had it all in an Excel spreadsheet, and I didn't have that many clients who were interested in the PPP loans, surprisingly. But I think when they did follow-up stimulus, there was more available, and I'm not sure it was all used. And so it still could be something that could be available to people through the PPP loans. I also want to mention Lehigh Valley SCORE. Lori gives me each week, I don't always have a chance to mention it, but Lori gives me some snippets for Lehigh Valley SCORE. They mentor people who are in business and could use a little help, whether it's starting a business, closing a business, or transitioning a business. They have a seminar on Tuesday, April 27th at 9 a.m., it's called Small Business Loan Basics by M&T Bank. And then on May 20th of 2021, there's another seminar, Record Keeping by PNC Bank. So when we talk about cash flow through COVID and what we've learned that we can do with less. And then what do we do with savings or money that we've accumulated? Are we being smart about how we're spending it or how we're saving it? Where are we saving it? Have we looked at our cost of our debt? Have we looked at the return on our investments of where we're putting our money? Do we have our emergency reserves? Do we have maybe even a 2 to 5 year bucket? How are we allocating to that, and how much do we have there in the event that, you know, some unfortunate event, or it doesn't even have to be unfortunate. It I like to be a positive person. It could just be something unforeseen. That's even a better word, some unforeseen event. Are we prepared to manage that? And are we building up our retirement funds? Are we paying down our debt? And do we know where to find help? Next week, you guys, I think I am going to talk a little bit more about some of the things I missed tonight. I was going to talk about some of the budget apps that are available. So I think I will tack that on to next week's show. I was going to talk about Social Security as well, Social Security and Medicare, and the intricacies of some of that, and considering your options in when to file for Social Security, and also are you exposed to the income-related monthly adjustment amount, the IRMA adjustment for Medicare, if you're over age 65 and it's based on your income, how you can manage that, and you know how you can correct it if you are affected and you have a life-changing event, to make sure that you're taking care of that. So the budget apps next week I'll talk a little bit about, and then Social Security and Medicare. Still some time left. We're not sure if folks were able to get through and make some donations, but the to give online, it's wdiy.org. I want to thank Lori for being here on her birthday. Thank you, Lori. Thank you, Shandi. We have Tom Druckenmiller coming up, and I want to turn it over to Seamus, but also say my closing remarks, which are be proactive, not reactive, and make the best of your financial choices and have a great week. But Seamus, do you have an update for us?
I do not have any more donations.
So sad.
But I wanted to come on and encourage anybody listening right now. You have a few seconds left at the end of the program. You're not going to miss anything at this point.
Yes.
None of Lori's advice is going to be missed. So you can call 610-758-8810 or go online to wdiy.org and support your listening here during our spring membership drive.
I'm going to write the check anyway. Thank you, listeners. Have a good one.